Previously on the Hajj reunion.
No, Stu, this was the Hajj where there was a stampede.
Oh, I remember now. There was a beautiful young white girl with us who became Muslim. I had to teach her how to pray Salah.
Yes, Stu. You are actually remembering now. Inshallah, your memory won't fail you while we are there. Mustafa, is it really you?
Gee, Molana, why do you look so surprised? You must have known I was going to be here.
No, it's not that. It's just that you look so...
When you came in last night, I was going to ask you what's wrong, Mustafa. But I thought we could chat today. So what's been going on with you?
Well, as you both know, I closed up my shop when we returned from Hajj in 2000. That Hajj was such an amazing experience for me that I did a short course on becoming a tour operator. And by the next year, I had managed to open up my own tour company.
You never married again then?
No, I was too busy with the tour company.
Hold that thought, Mustafa. Let me just get the door. It must be one of the other guests.
Assalamu alaikum. Is this the Raja's house?
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, let me just call Atiya. Who shall I say is calling?
It's the Sneem.
Allah Ta'ala says in Surah 22, verse 27, and proclaim the pilgrimage among men. They will come to thee on foot and mounted on every kind of camel, lean on account of journeys through deep and distant mountain highways. This, my dear Hujjaj, is Arafat, the pinnacle of the Hajj. Imagine being given a chance to have all your sins forgiven, every single one of them, benevolently erased and gone forever, never to be heard of or spoken about ever again. Imagine being sinless as the day your mother gave birth to you. Well, that's exactly what Arafat is. It is one day, or more accurately, a few hours, in which to cry and seek forgiveness from the Almighty for all of your sins and get all of your righteous du'as accepted.
Hajj 2000, Day 2. A sea of white covers the plains of Arafah, where the Hujjaj have gathered for the wukuf on this, the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah. Black, white, rich, poor, young and old, all are gathered as one body, chanting the Talbiyah in one voice. The Global Travels Tour Group has made their way on foot from Mina after praying Fajr Salah, and they are now instated in their tent in Arafah. As the sun passes its zenith and the time of wukuf sets in, they move outside the tent and stand under the hot sun, fervently making their own individual du'as, begging and crying unto the Almighty for the forgiveness of their sins. After some time, Maulana Faisal steps forward and begins to lead the du'a of the Hujjaj. Zubair and Famida are the last alive at the Raja's home. Zubair wheels Zahra down to the garden and settles her with Auntie Suraya at the lunch table before joining the men, while Famida inside goes to assist Atiya in the kitchen.
Wow, you have a stunning house, Atiya. And massive too.
Alhamdulillah, Allah has really been kind to us. It was perfect when the kids were growing up. And now with the grandkids staying over so often, it really is a blessing. So tell me, Famida, how long have you and Zubair been married for?
It will be 4 years in October.
And have you had the good fortune of making Hajj together yet?
Well, you know, we had applied last year, but then this COVID thing put everything on hold.
Yes, we were planning to go with all our kids and their spouses, but Allah knows best. It didn't happen. Were you planning to take Zahra as well?
What? You must be joking, Atiya. It's hard enough to take care of Zahra at home. Imagine if we had to look after her for all those weeks in the kingdom.
Oh, I didn't realize.
And yeah, Zahra has so much baggage after that experience. I doubt she'll ever go for Hajj again, assuming she even finds someone to take her.
Maybe if she gets married.
Married? But that's impossible. Zahra is a paraplegic, man.
Zahra might be disabled, and that certainly puts limits on her life. But I know of a married couple who are both disabled in some way, and they lead a happy and fulfilling life. Now, Femira, I'm sure everybody is ravenous. Help me take this food out to the tables.
Down in the garden, the ladies gather one by one around the table for lunch.
Auntie Sireya, it's me, Zahra. How are you doing?
Zahra?
Gee, we were in Hajj together, remember?
Of course I remember. How's your mother? Why isn't she here?
Mummy passed away 10 years ago.
Oh, nobody told me. And since when are you in a wheelchair? I remember you as a sprightly young thing in Mecca.
Assalamu alaikum, Zahra. How wonderful to see you. And Auntie Sureya, still looking as young as ever.
Tasneem? Oh my word! I can't believe it. You're in full niqab. But when did you go into Parda?
You look stunned, Zahra. Well, after Hajj, it seemed only natural for me to go into hijab full-time. And the niqab came not too long after that.
Atiya and Femira come outside with trays laden with starters and salads, which they pass around to the guests. Atiya passes a tray through to the men's side.
Come, everyone. Please help yourselves to the salads and starters. I must say I'm impressed, Tasneem. It really suits you, mashallah. You can take it off now, though the men are sitting on the other side of the screen.
I remember you. You're that white girl who was in Hajj with us. You were so smart with your long nails and short hair that no good husband of yours didn't even teach you anything.
Aunt Sreya, why don't you tell us about some of your past Hajj experiences? I heard Maulana Faisal saying that you both had been for Hajj about 16 times.
Subhanallah, 16 Hajj?
No. I mean, yes, but wait. I want to know what happened to that useless boy who was married to this young lady.
Tasneem, I'm so sorry.
Don't worry, Atiya. I have to agree with Auntie Sureya. Fahim really was useless. But the one good thing he did was to bring me into Islam.
I'm so curious to know. How did you become such a practicing Muslimah when you have no grounding in Islam?
Well, Fahim married me because we fell in love when we were studying together at campus. He wasn't very religious, but he insisted I become Muslim so that we could get married. And I thought, well, why not? I had been brought up as a Christian, but we were not really practicing. My parents encouraged me to be a free thinker. So I took the plunge and became Muslim. Fahim and I had been married only a few months. And when he booked us for Hajj, I didn't know much about Islam at all. That Hajj journey really made an impact on me. It was so amazing to learn so much about the deen in those 6 weeks. And what better place to learn the fundamentals of the deen than the cities where it had originated from?
Subhanallah, you're really blessed to have such a positive attitude, Tasneem. How did you feel when you got to Medina? I mean, for us born Muslims, it's such an incredible experience.
It was even more incredible for me. Although I must admit that initially, I felt thoroughly overwhelmed to be in the city where the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam of Allah had lived and is buried. But then, on the very first day when I visited the Rauda Mubarak, I felt such a feeling of solace that I knew that no matter what, I would never change religion of mine.
What a beautiful story. But like mine, yours also didn't have a happy ending. Tasneem, it must have been terrible when Fahim divorced you just after Hajj.
It was terrible initially. But looking back now, I realize it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. You know, Allah has a reason for everything. Even though we don't know why certain supposedly bad things happened to us, Fahim wasn't really into the deen, and I discovered that even without him, I really loved being a Muslim.
You mean you weren't born Muslim? I didn't know that.
Gee, Auntie Suraya, you were the one who taught me how to pray Salah properly.
Oh, yes.
So how did you live your life after that, this name?
Well, I stayed with my parents for a bit. They didn't mind me loving Islam in their house. And the following year, I met a Muslim guy at work. And alhamdulillah, we got married. And now we have a bunch of kids and are living the suburban dream.
But you still haven't told us how you started wearing niqab. You were barely managing to keep a scarf on in the 5 days.
Auntie Suraya, remember you showed me all the different ways to tie my scarf? You were so trendy, even in Hajj. I love the way it looked on me, so I decided to keep it on. A few years ago, my second husband took me for Hajj again, and it brought back such amazing memories that I decided that the next step would be to wear the niqab.
MashaAllah, you really have come a long way, Tasneem.
I'll just check on Zubair before we eat. I'm sure he must be wondering how I'm doing.
Zubair is a grown man in the company of people he spent an entire 6 weeks with. I'm sure he can take care of himself.
Don't worry about him, Femira. He's with the men right on the other side of the screen. Can't you hear how much noise they're all making? It really sounds like they're having a good time.
What other tales have transpired in 21 years? Find out in the next episode of The Hajj Reunion.